ever considered that we are living in a unique time, that something world-changing is about to happen, and that it might concern you? If so, you're in the right place. Keep listening, and you'll hear thought-provoking views behind the news that point to a new and better future for all. Many people now sense that humanity is not alone. So consider this. If the Christ or the Buddha walked among us today as modern men, would we recognize them? What would they be saying? And most importantly, would we listen? Every Sunday on this program, Share International Radio will examine extraordinary events that are unfolding behind the headline news. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for. And now, welcome to this week's show.
Hello, hello. Welcome to all of our listeners, new and old, to Share on the Air Radio. This is Diana Gold-Holland, your guest host, your host for this week, with my guest, Gerard Artson. A couple of things to get out of the way before we start. Our regular reappearance summary is to make two or three basic points about our show so that you know where we're coming from. So if you're a new listener, this is especially for you. And if you're a seasoned listener, please stand by while we acquaint our newbies. So basically, there are three premises to our show and to the work with this program. Number one is that we on this planet are not alone, have never been and never will be, that we have help of an extraordinary nature at this particular time in our difficult history, and that that help comes to us in the form of perfected teachers who have gone beyond all of the trials and tribulations of standard human evolution and incarnation, and become what is known as the masters of wisdom. These are people who have complete mastery over themselves, the elements, are master scientists, and who actually foreshadow us in our evolution as humanity as we work forward and come into greater and greater alignment with the divine plan for this planet at this time. They have gone ahead, they are perfected, and they are here now emerging to help and guide us with their advice as to where to take our divine evolution and our planet, which is in somewhat of a sorry state just now. At their head, the third point of our general premises, is that the Lord Maitreya stands. He is the master of all the masters, and he comes now as the expected one for many of the world's great religions. He comes as the Christ for the Christians, he comes as the Messiah for the Jews, the Imam Mahdi for the Muslims, Krishna for the Hindus, etc. But he is not a religious figure. He is a great teacher, a world teacher, who comes now for all of humanity, those who ascribe to a particular religion and those who do not. So these are our major points. We present them for your consideration only. If the information that you hear today is of interest to you, if it rings a bell, there will be many, many resources made known to you that you can follow up on. We will be discussing certain aspects of the emergent story of Maitreya, the world teacher, onto the world scene now. But before we do that, I have a rather touching duty to perform, and that is to read a special announcement that has now been posted on the main website connected with our work. This is www.shareinternational.org. I invite you to go there and check it out yourselves later. But here, verbatim, is this special announcement. Share International regrets to announce that Benjamin Krem, British artist, author, and lecturer, has died. He passed away peacefully on the 24th of October, 2016, at his home in London, with his family around him. Through his work as the chief editor of Share International magazine, as author of many books, and as international speaker, Benjamin Cram has been an inspiration throughout the world in presenting information about the emergence of Maitreya, the World Teacher, and the Masters of Wisdom. Working from a background of the ageless wisdom teachings given to the world by Helena Blavatsky, co-founder of the Theosophical Society, and the Alice Bailey esoteric teachings, Mr. Cram has expanded and brought up to date this ancient knowledge. Working under the tutelage of one of the Masters of Wisdom, Mr. Cram dedicated the last 40 years of his life to his work for the emergence of Maitreya, the World Teacher, and the Masters of Wisdom, and in so doing inspired hundreds of thousands of people across the world. He began his public work in 1975 and lectured worldwide from 1979 onwards, only finally stopping at the age of 90. In 1974, he introduced transmission meditation, a new group meditation, which is both a means of personal development and a form of service to the world. Benjamin Cram had been unwell for a long time, but had kept going in his usual courageous, determined, and humorous way. His was an extraordinary life, dedicated to service. He brought hope to millions who have heard and been touched by the news of the imminent emergence of the World Teacher and the consequent transformation of the world by the creation of justice and peace through sharing. Benjamin was 93 when he passed away. He will be enormously missed. He was, for me, one of the great formative influences of my life and to that of many, many other people. He will be enormously missed, and we will be preparing a tribute to him in the weeks to come on Share on the Air Radio. Also, I invite you to watch for the December issue of Share International magazine, of which, of course, he was chief editor, which will be a very special edition. So, Benjamin, we wish you well on your continued journey, and thank you for your incredible, incredible service to the world. However, life goes on, so I turn to introducing today's guest, the eminent Dutch ufologist Gerard Aartsen. He has published 3 books about UFOs and the presence of extraterrestrials on Earth, and has just recently made available a free ebook on his website entitled Before Disclosure, Dispelling the Fog of Speculation. Gerard's articles have been published in Share International magazine and several other publications, and he has given over 200 interviews on these subjects. He is also an avid student of the Ageless Wisdom teachings and a long-standing co-worker and colleague of mine in the Share International network. Gerard was one of our very first guests on Share on the Air Radio. My co-host, Cielito Pasquale, interviewed him on December 13th, last year, 2015. So I invite you to check out the archive for our show on Om Times Radio or via our website, shareontheairradio.org. That's share, S-H-A-R-E, on the air, radio.org. And that broadcast date for the first Aartsen interview was, again, December 13th, 2015. So, welcome back, Gerard.
Hi, Diane. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So let's get right into it. Gerard, you know, the topic of the Space Brothers is so vast and so fraught with controversy that it's difficult to know where to begin. And you are one of the foremost researchers on the big, one of the best educated people on the planet, I would think. So let's start with one of the earliest things that tweaked your attention. And I'm talking specifically about the disinformation campaign. Please give us the who, what, why, where, when on that.
Yes. See, the interesting thing is when you look into the history of ufology or the Space Brother movement, the Flying Saucer movement, as it has been called in various ways, it's interesting to see that there was not only a cover-up of the original or the first reported crashes of flying saucers with the military initially being reported recovering wreckage and bodies. But when people started to come out and convey their experiences and the message that they were asked to give to the world after meeting beings from these flying saucers, they gathered a lot of interest from the public. And this was in the midst of the Cold War, of course, the tense standoff with the threat of nuclear annihilation for humanity between the West, with America as the clear leader in the clear leader, and the Soviet Union on the other hand as the leader of the East Bloc, and obviously the governments the military needed the public support for the arms race and the psychological support in this ongoing ideological standoff, and that's why apparently they decided to deride the accounts of the contactees, to defame them, to ridicule their stories. And increasingly, disinformation campaign, this began around the mid-1950s, and increasingly from the late 50s, early 60s onward, you see that in the general narrative, these stories begin to be forgotten, not immediately altogether, but increasingly as time passed.
Which stories? The stories of the contactees?
Stories of the contactees, yes.
Right.
And
okay.
In recent times, they were mostly forgotten and weren't even taken seriously anymore. And that's where the trouble starts, of course. When these contactees, and I'm talking about George Adamski, Truman Bethlehem, Daniel Fry, to name a few of the most well-known American ones. When we didn't know or ever even heard of extraterrestrial beings coming to our planet and meeting with people, with individuals, before they came out with their stories, these people, then, why would we allow so much confusion and fear and speculation cover up or confuse our minds later on? There's so much speculation about scary aliens coming to take control of the Earth, whereas there was hardly any general public awareness of beings from space before George Adamski and the likes of him began to talk and write about their stories.
Okay, let's talk more about this on the other side of the break, Gerard, and I want to hear more about your views on UFOs as well. Stay tuned, please, audience. We'll be back on the other side of the news here on Om Times Radio. Share on the air radio.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
Maitreya's Mission, the book by Benjamin Krem, is a riveting exploration of life ahead. It reveals how the world teacher, Maitreya, and other ancient guardians of the human race are emerging now and are showing us how to release our divine potential. Investigate for yourself at shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. shareontheairradio.org.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We are live on Share on the Air Radio with our guest, Gerard Artson. And Gerard, before this, all of this manipulation and disinformation was begun, there was actually a huge interest in the flying saucer phenomenon, and specifically in George Adamski's books, which actually went bestseller as I found out on a bit of research. So beyond all of this disinformation, what was the true message of the Space Brothers to the early contactees?
It was incredible, the response that especially George Adamski received. You know, the book in which he first related his first contact experience, Flying Saucers Have Landed, co-authored with Desmond Leslie, a British aristocrat, who gave an extensive, comprehensive description of the history of UFO sightings throughout history. It was published simultaneously in the USA and the UK, and within three years of its publication, saw 12 reprints in the US alone. Within just a few years, it was translated in seven languages. In the end, it was translated in 10 different languages over the years.
And what was the message that the
message
was surveying?
The message actually came through more clearly in his second book, Inside the Spaceships. And the message really is that, especially in those days, that nuclear energy is dangerous. Nuclear fission energy, the type of nuclear energy that our power plants and nuclear weapons, etc., are based on, and that we should urgently stop employing that technology, and that we should abolish war as a means to ending conflict or resolving conflict, and we should start cooperating internationally to solve our problems. That really was the overriding message, and it was not only to be found in Adamski's work, but as I said, also in that of other contactees, not only in America, but in Europe and South America as well.
Mm-hmm. So they had also foretold many of the current crises that we're facing now, had they not?
They have. It's amazing to see how much foresight they have. They showed in what they told their contacts on Earth, how the systems, you know, then it's much more it's much more clear to us now than it was then, perhaps. But our systems, based as they are on competition between nations, and now especially between corporations and even individuals, does not allow for a peaceful future to be built, or even a sustainable future to be built. You know, we waste and squander resources, natural resources, including the water and air that we depend on for our health, and they warned us then also, you know, that we needed to look after the planet, to look after the Earth, if we are to have any future here. And it's interesting to see that there were also later contactees. There's one in particular that I, whose work I quoted in my previous book, Priorities for a Planet in Transition, a Dutch contactee who had an experience in 1965, and they went into great detail about not only how life and society on his host's planet is organized, but also how important it is that we take good care of our planet, our habitat.
And which contactee was this, Gerard?
This was Stefan Denard, which was his pen name. It was actually a Dutch businessman. He was the director general of a large Dutch importers for Swedish trucks.
Okay. Can you spell that last name for people who might want to follow this up?
Yes. His Stefan. Book was Denard, and it's spelled D-E. N-A-E-R-D-E. His book that was a bestseller in Holland was translated eventually and published in 1977, if I'm not mistaken, as Operation Survival Earth. And secondhand copies can still be found rather easily and very affordably.
Okay. So essentially, the Space Brothers forewarned us of these consequences that we would be facing now, of not living with right human relationships and not taking care of the environment. They stressed the need for international cooperation. But how does this all tie in with our central message on this program, the return of the Masters of Wisdom and the emergence at their head of Maitreya, the world teacher?
Well, see, the need for right human relations is a result, a consequence of the fact that life is one. These people from space came and come to here to show us that life is one and life is universal. It is everywhere around us. And increasingly we see photographic evidence of a UFO over the surface of Mars, or large structures photographed by the solar observatorium, NASA's solar observatorium, that cannot be explained by conventional explanations or reasons. So, you know, we see them more and more around the solar system, and they've been coming here since in greater numbers since the 1950s. And that in itself is evidence of the fact that life is universal, and they try to impress on us the fact that life is one, and we need to give expression to that oneness. Also, they clearly show they have an advanced morality and higher ethics than we do, much like the Masters of Wisdom on our planet have been showing us through their teachings. And as I've shown in my work based on my own research, the messages from the information coming from the masters and the messages coming from the people from space are, you know, almost identical.
Right.
it's amazing to see the similarities in the information. That's, and again, it's, you know, what you started the show with. It's so regretful that this information has been covered up by all this disinformation, and is now being neglected. Basically.
Well, it's also been around a long time. We have the golden rule of all the religions exactly saying the same thing, and very much in the Ageless Wisdom teachings, too. Before we go to break, Gerard, I'd just like to bring up Mr. Cram's book on this subject, which is called The Gathering of the Forces of Light. Cram actually worked with Adamski on the inner planes, and so they were very well acquainted. They were very much of service together to this whole externalization movement. And Krem basically portrays that the Space Brothers have three very important missions that they are fulfilling in tandem with the hierarchy. One is that they, for many, many years now, have been mopping up nuclear radiation from our environment. And without that aid and assistance, the planet could be virtually almost unlivable by this point. So as Mr. Krem says, we owe them a great karmic debt in
The interesting
in
thing is, if I may add to that, that the same point was made in the 1950s by an Italian contactee who was a diplomat, Alberto Perego. And he wrote four books himself at that time, and he said exactly the same thing, that we should be grateful to the people from space for dredging our atmosphere to get rid of the pollution that largely goes unnoticed by our own science.
Right. And the Space Brothers, according to Mr. Krem, have also been working very closely with the Masters of Wisdom in leaving calling cards. The crop circles that we have are exactly by them in to raise the hope and expectancy of our world. More on the other side of, my goodness, our second break already. We'll be talking about UFOs with Gerard Artson, expert ufologist, author, and researcher. Stay tuned.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at deblivmedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Did you know that Share International Radio is more than just a podcast? If you're hungry for thought-provoking views behind the news, there may be a Share International event happening soon near you, providing a spiritual perspective you'll find nowhere else. To locate an event in your area, visit shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. ShareOnTheAirRadio.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Here we are with Gerard Artson on the UFO movement and in our program, its relationship to the externalization of the hierarchy, the presence and emergence of great teachers in our midst. We want to be talking about about UFOs now with Gerard. Let me, just before we get started, finish up on pointing you to Mr. Krem's book. You can find information about that on the website for SHARE International, which is quite simply www.share-international.org. And there in the book sections, you will find the fascinating of Mr. Krem, and including this particular topic called the gathering of the forces of light. So, Gerard, not a day goes by without more reported UFO sightings. And they're often said to appear or disappear suddenly, to stop or change direction on a dime. How can this occur?
This occurs because they exist at levels of material reality, physical matter, which are higher, where the atoms and subatomic particles vibrate at a higher frequency than the levels of matter that we are used to and that our science recognizes, like the solid physical and the liquid and the gaseous physical. These are called in the Ages Wisdom teaching the etheric planes of matter. And there's four of them, apparently. And the UFOs, as they come from the other planets in our system, which so far have been deemed incapable of supporting life by our mainstream science, life exists there on these planets on the etheric planes of matter. And there is no dead spot in the universe because life is the underlying cause, one might say, for the evolution of consciousness. And we find it everywhere, even if we don't, if our science is not capable of spotting it. And these...
I just wanted to interject here that I remembered from Mr. Krem's book that, our scientists do not see these planes of reality, but he says that, for example, on Mars, Mars is actually more populated than the Earth, even though it looks like a dead planet to our spaceship. So pretty interesting. The etheric planes are teeming with life, as you say.
Yes, if we look at mainstream science again, our science admits that it cannot account for 96% of the mass of the universe. Astrophysical calculations have shown that there's more mass to the universe than science can pinpoint. And since the 1930s, this has been referred to, for the theoretical models as dark matter and dark energy. So even science knows that there must be more than we can see. And in addition, the more several avant-garde scientists have made discoveries and put forward hypotheses that actually point in the direction of these etheric planes of matter. For instance, a very well-known example would be Curlian photography. Semyon Curlian developed a technology to photograph, to record on photographs, the energy fields radiating from living tissue, living organisms. And his technology was later developed to photograph human auras. And Wilhelm Reich, another very well-known example, an Austrian doctor who had to escape his country from the Nazis, and who ended up in prison in the United States. But he discovered the orgone energy, which he said permeates everything in nature, and which is another pointer in the direction of the etheric planes of matter.
Right. And of course, he was imprisoned because of the truth of the scientific evidence he was trying to bring forward. Rather tragic.
And he was proposing alternative ways of treating cancer, which the United States Department dealing with those matters did not approve of.
Exactly. Now, since the the spacecraft can materialize if they want to, and they do that just to give us proof, just to bring our attention to the fact that they really do exist.
Yes, indeed, they can sort of drop into our range of vision from their original state on the etheric planes, and you know, they can appear as very solid physical metallic disks or motherships, and by what we have come to call the flick of a switch, they can return to their original state, which means they will be gone from our view instantly. And you know, it also and of course they have mastery over space in a way that we cannot imagine. So their huge ships can make very sharp turns and at angles impossible for our spacecraft to replicate. So that's all to do with their particular the way they've been designed and the way that they exist originally on the etheric planes of matter.
So essentially, the corollary to that is that when we hear of these visitations to ships by Adansky and other early contactees, these were out-of-body visits, correct?
Yes, that's correct. In order to be taken up into a flying saucer or a mothership, you have to be taken out of the body. Which means, because you know, everything that we know in the physical world has an etheric counterpart, and really what we see is the physical plane, the dense physical precipitation of the original forms on the etheric planes. So our etheric body, the space people have a way of taking our etheric body, if they see a purpose, if we allow them to do that when we're invited, to lift us consciously in our etheric body, leaving our physical body at rest, protected in the three worlds, so that we can be taken on board in the etheric counterpart of our body, and have an experience if they feel that is beneficial for the person in question, or you know, if somebody would be able to help bring their information to the world. And George Adamski and many, many other people have been given such experiences.
And this, of course, is because, even though science may not recognize or admit it, we posit, at least in the ancient wisdom teachings and many other systems, of course, the existence of the etheric body for each and every one of us. Do you have any idea on how you'd, quote, apply for one of these visitations or be chosen for such an experience?
If I did, I would have put in an application myself, but unfortunately I'll let you know when I find out.
Okay, we'll certainly have you on the very next show, because you haven't been yet, right?
No, not as far as I'm aware. No, it seems to happen to people in dreams sometimes, and of course, for their own protection, it may be that they are not made to remember those dreams. But I have no such memories or anything, so I can't say or speculate that I have been on a spaceship, and I don't think that's the most important part of the story, anyway.
No, for sure. But still, we would all be,
many of us would be
curious about this. So we're at it, what can you tell us about life on other planets that you've gleaned from your research?
It's fascinating what they have shown us on the very what Adamski has written about it, and Stefan Denard, the Dutch contactee, and several others, Truman Bethrum, a Chilean contactee, Enrique Barrios, through the book that he wrote about his experience. What they have shown is that people there work together, they cooperate for the general well-being, the general betterment of everyone on the planet. They don't have divisions. They make sure that everyone has access to the basic needs for any human being, including adequate food and shelter and healthcare and education to begin with. They've organized their societies and their economies in such a way that it's apparently nobody works more than a few hours per week, you know, the regular workaday labor, and work in the sense of directing or you know, policy making, things like that, is more seen as an honorable form of service to the community, the planetary, the smaller communities, or the planetary community. So it's an honor to do those tasks. Nobody lacks, nobody wants. There are no conflicts, let alone armed conflicts. So life there is really, really well suited to people's self-development, growth of evolution, self-realization. You know, and of course Maitreya, through some of his associates in this case, has given out teachings for humanity to follow the same course, to implement the art of self-realization. Unfortunately, at the moment, the conditions on our planet, social and economic and everything else, is not really conducive to following that path for the majority of people. You know, how can you be bothered with self-realization if you have to work two or three jobs to just be able to afford the rent? So the life on those planets seems ideal from our perspective, and that's because we are so we're so trapped by our competition for life, you know, competition for survival. And unless we find a way, and the contactees in the 1950s were told that already, and the masters and Maitreya have been telling us since, unless we find a way to overcome our divisions and our separativeness, you know, we won't be able to come to the same level of oneness.
Right. And that is where it's all about. The original contactees were informed that humanity's moral progress must keep step with the technological advancements. And we will talk about that on the other side of the break if we want to prevent our self-destruction. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Gerard Artsen, Dutch researcher and ufologist. See you then.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every night, when the skies are clear, a remarkable event can be witnessed. A UFO the size of 5 football fields is moving through the skies just like a star. It pulses, it blinks, it changes color. This spacecraft appeared before as the Star of Bethlehem. Find out what it all means. Visit shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my,
I read that wrong.
They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome back. We are already at our final segment of today's program, and we were mentioning that the space brothers who have visited us are definitely more advanced in consciousness, in the way they, Gerard was explaining, that they run their societies, that they have gone beyond competition and basically moved into a much higher, more civilized way of being. So it's all about the evolution of consciousness, from what I understand, Gerard. And so what is the connection between the extraterrestrial presence and the evolution of our human consciousness?
Well, see, the evolution of consciousness is also something that we see in every religion. It's interesting. Religions are seen nowadays as being very divisive, as a cause of division among humanity. But if you look at the original teachings in each of the religions, you basically see the same notions. Every religion expounds or proposes this cyclical revelation through the return of a teacher. Yeah, the regular listeners will know, and the readers of Shia International magazine will know, that the Jews are waiting for the Messiah, the Christians wait the second coming of Christ, and the Buddhists wait the fifth Buddha, Maitreya Buddha, and the Hindus waiting for the tenth incarnation of Vishnu, and some parts of Shia Islam are waiting for the 12th Mahdi. So every time at the end or the beginning of a new cosmic cycle, a teacher appears, and they teach about the source and the evolution of consciousness, while the evolution of consciousness, broadening our awareness to include our fellow human beings, needs to be given expression through right human relations. And we find that, you mentioned it already, in the Golden Rule. So there's a very close connection in that sense. What I find interesting also is that, you know, we've already covered some of the similarities between the messages from the space people and the information of the Ages of Wisdom teaching, especially Benjamin Krem's information. But various contactees were actually told about a new teacher appearing. There's an Italian contactee who was told that a new Moses will be leading us out of our present misery. And George Adamski himself confirmed several times that there have been many messiahs throughout history.
Absolutely. Even Gautama Buddha, we will recall, foretold the coming of a Buddha as great as himself, by name,
yes,
Maitreya.
Yes. Yeah.
So even the Buddhists have this prediction.
Oh yes, all the religions do. All the religions do. And George Adamski also said in 1955 in a lecture that he gave in Detroit, in Michigan, that it states in our own Bible that in the latter days, as you might call it at the moment, that when these things will be happening, like signs in the sky and war and rumors of war, we will have come to an end of a cycle, or some people call it a dispensation. So, you know, it is Enrique Barrios, the Chilean author, referred to the Age of Aquarius. Wilbert Smith, the Canadian contactee, wrote in 1958 that in time when certain events have transpired and we are so oriented that we can accept these people from elsewhere, we will be able to learn from them and bring about the golden age all men everywhere desire deep within their hearts. So, you know, there is so much congruency between the information of the Ageless Wisdom teachings that we find in our world's religions and in the information coming from the space people it's almost impossible. It's not possible to see and understand the extraterrestrial presence on our planet in any other light.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to mention, because we are going to run out of time, Gerard, that you have been, you know, a student of the Ageless Wisdom teachings for over 35 years. And I want to mention the comprehensive annotated catalog that you have put together. Gerard, it is a veritable goldmine on these teachings. And I want to give the name of it for our listeners. The website is Our Elder Brothers Return, A History in Books, 1875 to the Present. So hopefully you will have a chance to take a look at that. Many of the great teachings are resumed there. And hats off to you, Gerard. That is just such a really good source of information. I find it, you know, I'm not going to say second only, because, of course, we don't compete. But, you know, along with share-international.org, where I want to make sure to mention before we close, the actual videos that you can see with Benjamin Krem are a very, very great resource. So there is the Share International channel on YouTube. I invite you to check that out for the fascinating material that's there. And of course, if you go to our website, shareontheairradio.org, there are many resources there, including a couple of introductory podcasts. The very first two shows that we did with Cielito Pascual are a whole background of the emergent story. And so please, if you're new to the information, check that out. Gerard, famous last words.
Let me give another example of the massive similarities between the several sources of information. Maitreya, through his messages via Benjamin Krem, has called on us to take responsibility and demand justice and freedom and peace in the world. And the various contactees have been told the same thing by the space people, that it is up to us. They cannot save us. Maitreya, the masters, cannot save us. Only we ourselves can save us. They are here to inspire us, to help us. And to quote George Adamski one more time, today we again stand at a momentous crossroads. The space travelers are doing their utmost to warn and help us, but the final decision lies in our hands. End quote. So when we see that our leaders have lost their way, they have no vision for the future, for humanity, we need to, you know, take to the streets if necessary, to show them the way forward through right human relations, through freedom and justice and peace for everyone.
And we are taking to the streets. Quick quote from Maitreya, who has said, "The peoples of the world have caught the vision of freedom, of justice, and peace, and will not let it go. They, rather than their leaders, will outline the future and shape it to their needs. Thus will it be. This new force in the world, the voice of the people, is rapidly gaining strength and cohesion and will play a major role in world affairs from now." This from Maitreya himself. Before we end, Gerard, I want to mention your latest ebook, which you are making available free on your website. Mm-hmm. The book is Before Disclosure: Dispelling the Fog of Speculation. It's available on Gerard's website, and it can also be purchased in hard copy from Amazon. So I invite I invite people to take advantage of your generosity in that respect. And, of course, to also view your free previous works, Gerard, which
and,
are very...
And the upcoming issue of Share International magazine, the November issue, which carries an article, one of my my latest article, which is based on my book, Priorities for a Planet in Transition.
Absolutely. So mentioning that again, there is a Share International magazine is available by subscription at a very modest price. But there is also an abridged version that appears on the website share.www.share-international.org. So every month you can read that abridged edition, and I'm pretty sure that they will be including your article for November. So thank you for mentioning that again, Gerard. And how do you think we're doing on the writing of this disinformation campaign? Have they been successful, or are do you find that there are more glimmers of hope?
I see glimmers of hope, definitely. And if coming back to Benjamin Cram's service, I just want to express my deepest gratitude and respect for his selfless service and sacrifice, because I think we cannot even fathom the significance of his work for this world. And it behoves us to carry forward that his task.
Absolutely. He would not have wanted it any other way. Very well said, Gerard. Thank you so much for being our guest this week.
And thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And we'll be having you again when you go on the spaceship. So thank you, listeners. Once again, another edition of Share on the Air Radio, thought-provoking views behind the news. Tune in again, please, next week for more of the same. Thank you once again, one and all, and see you next time around.